Such a joy to be with you folks again.
很高兴能又来和大家在一起。
I'm just coming off a vacation, so I'm very well rested.
牧师他刚从那个度假回来，所以他非常有精神。
We went up to our Camp Spofford up in New Hampshire. It's a wonderful place for free church families.
因为他们去了 New Hampshire 的一个 camp, 那个 camp 是非常适合家庭一起去的。
So if you're ever looking for a spiritual week of vacation, I highly recommend our denominational camp.
如果你们想要到一个很属灵的地方度假，你们可以去那个地方。
I'd also like to report, I know many of you have been praying for my wife for a long period of time.
因为她知道我们为她的老婆祷告了很长时间。
And she's doing very well with her health issues. She has Lyme disease that has deteriorated her jaw hinge.And so she has TMJ and Lyme at the same time.
因为她有那个莱姆病，而且她的下巴那个关节受到了损害。
But after seeing a specialist in New York City, he said, "Just continue the course that you're doing. It looks like you're doing very well, and so we're going to just keep trusting the Lord as she's in a period of remission."
然后他们去看了一个专家，专家认为他太太康复的还不错。所以他们就决定，他们要继续在主里面安息来养病。
So from the depths of my heart, thank you for your prayers for my family.
所以从我内心深处感谢大家为我们家的祷告。
This book on Christian has created quite a stir in our Christian community.
这本书在基督教的这个人中间引起了很大的反响。
Our national culture is changing very rapidly these days.
近年来，这个国家的文化发生了很大的变化。
And there's been a significant shift in what I would call antagonism against the church.
因为很多人都开始变得对教会有敌意了。
The author of this book, David Kinnaman, interviewed 24,000 people.
这本书的作者他采访了24,000多人
ages 16 to 29
他采访了16岁到29岁的这一群人
and he asked them what was their perception of Christianity in the church
问他们你们觉得基督教基督徒是怎么样的呢
so if I were to ask you what do you think outsiders think about us what do you think that they would say
如果今天我问大家，你们认为教会外面的人是怎么看我们的？你会怎么认为呢
？Here's the findings.
这个就是他们发现的。
First of all, they said that we are anti-homosexual.
他们第一个感觉就是我们是反对同性恋的。
Every week we get together and we plot against homosexuality.
我们每个星期几乎都有一个聚会，大家一起反对同性恋。
Second of all, they said that we are very judgmental.
他们也觉得我们喜欢论断。
We are experts at throwing stones at sinners.
我们非常善于往罪人身上扔石头。
They said that we're hypocrites.
他们认为我们是虚伪的。
And I say, of course, we're all hypocrites.
我觉得是，我们都是很虚伪的。
None of us can measure up to the standard that Jesus set for us.
世人没有人可以能够。达到耶稣他那样的标准。
They say we're old-fashioned.
他们认为我们是很跟不上形式的。
And I have to agree.
我也同意。
I will not put a tattoo on my body ever.
我也从来不会在身上搞一个纹身什么的。
We're too involved with politics.
我们特别愿意掺和政治。
And I'll just go one more. We're out of touch with reality.
而且我们也远离了现实。
This is a huge problem for the church.
这是教会的一个大问题。
It's a huge problem for us in Stanford, and it's a huge problem for you here in Wilton.
那是我们在斯坦福的人的一个问题，也是在 Wilton 的人的一个问题。
Our favorability with the next generation is only 3%.
我们在下一代人眼中，对那些人对我们就是有好感的只有3%。
97% of the next generation look at us and they feel negative feelings towards what we do.
年轻一代97%的人都对我们不屑一顾。
What is interesting is that this is exactly the opposite problem that Jesus had.
我们今天所面临的问题是耶稣那个时候面临的一个相反的问题。
Jesus was loved by the outsiders, and he was despised by the insiders.
在耶稣的时代，他被外人所敬爱，被那个教堂里面的人，被会堂里面的人所唾弃。
So the question for us that we have to wrestle with is how do we return to the model that Jesus gave us?
所以我们现在要面临的征战就是我们怎么样能够回到耶稣那样子的榜样。
How do we fix these statistics?
我们怎么样能够把这个数据改变呢？
How do we guard the truth of God as well as love people who are far from the Lord?
我们怎么能一边持守真理，一边又去爱世人呢？
The story that we read today and saw comes from John 8.
今天我们刚才读到那个故事是从约翰福音第八章来的。
And Jesus shows us how to navigate the ship through those two opposite poles of truth and compassion.
耶稣为我们给了我们一个好的榜样，告诉我们如何在真理和同情心之间来平衡。
Jesus shows us how to love sinners and yet hold on to the truth.
耶稣向我们展示了怎么样又去爱罪人又去持守真理。
This is something that every person in this room needs to know how to do.
在座的每一位都应该学会。
So let's go back to this story so that we can understand it.
让我们来回过头来看这个故事。
And grasp these truths that we can apply them in 2013.
并且在我们今天这个时代也进行应用。
Let me deal with a textual issue, though. It's a very small note.
我们现在解决一个文件的问题，文本的问题。
You'll notice in many of your Bibles at the top of a page, there's like 6 font up here.
你们可能都注意到了，这上面有一个小字。
And what this is it says that the earliest manuscripts do not have this story in them.
这个小字说，早期的文本没有下面这个故事。
And the evidence is clear that this is true.
我们也有证据显示这个故事是真实的。
The story that we just read was probably not in the first version that was published by John.
我们读到的故事也许没有出现在第一版这个出版的这个约翰福音里。
But there's almost complete agreement that this was actually something that happened in Jesus' life.
但是大家其实都同意这个是耶稣生平中一个真实的片段。
There is no doubt, and there's no reason to doubt that this was an incident that happened to him.
没有人质疑这个事实。
Perhaps someone edited this and put it at the end of John's book when he wrote the gospel.
也许当后来有人出版的时候，他们就发现这个故事可以放在这个地方。
But the teaching that comes out of this incident is authoritative for us because it matches up with everything else in Jesus' ministry.
而且这个故事带来的这个教导是非常有权威性的，很符合耶稣平常的教导。
So let's look at how this unfolds here.
所以我们就来看看这个故事是如何发展的。
In verses 4 and 5, could you read those?
我们看第四、第五节，就对耶稣说，夫子，这妇人是正行淫之时被拿的。摩西在律法上吩咐我们，把这样的妇人用石头打死。你说该把她怎么样呢？
In the DVD, you see the high priest come with his dark robes on.
你们刚才看那个录像的时候，看到一个大祭司穿着一个黑袍子。
And he's quoting the law of Moses.
他就在当时就在念律法。
The Mosaic laws are very precise. And they tell us exactly what to do in situations.
摩西的律法非常的精确，告诉他们在这个情况下应该如何去做。
But the priest was misquoting the Mosaic law.
但是那个大祭司他没有如实的把这个摩西的律法原原本本的念出来。
The Mosaic law says that if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die.
那个律法当时是说，如果他们发现，一个人和另外一个人的老婆，搞一些不正当的事情，然后他们两个人都要去被抓住。
The jurisprudence of the Jewish law was that you had to catch them in the very act, and then both of them would die.
那个律法说的是，他们在当时干坏事的时候就要被抓住，而且两个人都要被处死。
So what's unusual about this situation?
所以现在我们所看到的这个情况有什么特殊之处呢？
Anyone see a double standard in this incident?
你们有没有发现他们是在实行一个双重标准？
There's only one person there.
因为只有一个人要被处死。
Where's the fellow?
那个男的呢？
For this to be exactly applied for the Mosaic law, you needed to have two.
如果你要真的原原本本的遵守摩西的律法，你应该把两个人一同抓住。
So this man is either not here because he's part of a scheme.
这个男人不在这儿，不在场，也许因为他就是这个策划者之一。
Or they're not charging him because they are partial to the man.
也许他们不处罚这个男人，因为他们偏心。
And what Jesus is sensing is that there is a scandal behind the scandal.
就像耶稣他所发现的是，这个丑闻背后有个更大的丑闻。
In verse 6, they used a question to try to trap Jesus. Could you read verse 6?
第六节，他们说这话乃试探耶稣。
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Deuteronomy passage. They were using the question to trap him. What was the real intent in their heart?
他们用这个事情来试探耶稣，他们心里到底是怎么想的呢？
They wanted to force the rabbi into a no-win situation.
他们想把这个搞得
We call this an impossible dilemma.
因为这是一个两难的处境。
He has to choose either between Roman law or Mosaic law.
就好像耶稣当时他必须要选择是遵守摩西的律法还是罗马的律法。
Between Rome or God.
是罗马的统治者还是神。
And either way, he would lose.
他选择哪一方他都会是失败的。
If they stone her, he's going to break the Roman law.
如果他们把这个妇人用石头打死，他们就会用罗马的法律来控告耶稣。
And he is not a friend of sinners.
而且他也不是罪人的朋友了。
But if Jesus sets her free, he's breaking the Mosaic law.
如果耶稣要把这个妇人放掉，那么他就破坏了摩西的律法。
So they are forcing Jesus to choose.
所以这个时候，这些人强迫耶稣来做一个选择。
Jesus, will you put your signature on her death certificate?
他们就是说，耶稣，你要不要在他的死刑上面签字？
Do you sense the gravity of this situation?
耶稣他知道这个事情的严重性。
This woman's life is at stake.
因为这个女人的生命危在旦夕。
Jesus' whole ministry is at stake.
而且耶稣他本人的教导也是处在一个危险的处境。
And the only way, the only reason they're doing this is because they want to accuse Jesus.
他们这样做就是要陷害耶稣。
They're not thinking about this woman at all.
他们根本不关心这个女人的死活。
All they're thinking about is their agenda because Jesus has upset them so much they want him dead.
他们只关心他们的阴谋诡计，因为他们非常讨厌耶稣，因为耶稣让他们很不好看。
She's just a pawn in the little chess game that they are playing.
这个女人只是他们这个下的一盘棋里面的一个小卒子。
See, the Pharisees knew a lot about the law, but they had no knowledge about grace.
这些法利赛人熟悉摩西的律法，但是他们一点都不明白神的恩典。
Do you ever catch yourself with a stone in your hand?
你自己有没有在手里面拿着石头要打人呢？
Looking at someone else that has messed up in their life.
当你遇到一些人生活中犯了一些错误，
and ready to take that stone and throw it at that guilty person.
你是不是也想着把手里的石头丢出去砸他呢？
I struggle with that.
我已经有这样的经历。
I like to put people in categories.
我愿意把人分成三类九等。
Oh, that's them.
这帮人。
And we're us.
我们是我们。
Oh, that group of people does this.
那帮人。
Or people like that, or they're always.
或者还有那些人，他们经常做这样的事情。
Stone throwers think in terms of us versus them.
投石头的人，他们的思维方式就是你们还有我们。
Now I've been around the church my entire life.
我一辈子都在教会里面。
I was carried to church as a baby.
我在教会年幼的时候和他在一起。
And I love the church.
我非常爱我的教会。
But I sometimes wonder why the church produces so many stone-throwing Christians.
但是我经常感叹。为什么从教会里出来这么多愿意往人身上扔石头的人呢？
It says Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger.
耶稣却弯着腰用石头在地上画字。
They're putting the pressure on him now.
这个时候的压力已经很大了。
And what Jesus has written in the sand has been questioned by theologians for over 2,000 years.
两千年以来，很多神学家都在探讨耶稣在地上到底写了什么。
And today I'm going to give you a definitive answer of what Jesus wrote in that sand.
今天我就给你们一个标准答案，告诉你耶稣到底写了什么。
The answer is.
答案就是。
We don't know.
我们不知道。
Nobody knows.
没人知道。
If somebody says, I know, doubt them.
如果有人告诉你他知道，你别信。
Now, I think that we should at least speculate on what he could have written.
但是另一方面，我们也应该想一想，他可能写了什么。
He could have written the Ten Commandments.
他也许写的是十诫。
Because every one of us breaks the Ten Commandments. We're all guilty.
因为我们每一个人都曾经打破了十诫中的诫命，我们都是有罪的。
He could have written the men's names and then their sins behind their name.
他也许写的是那些人的名字，还有他们所犯的罪过。
Maybe he would write the name of their girlfriend or something.
也许他会写他们女朋友的名字，或者他们的那个。
You notice the text says the older ones left first.
因为你看经文里面说从老到少一个一个出去老的先出去。
He could have written Deuteronomy 17:7.
他也可能写申命记17章7节。
Which says that the hands of the witness must be the first ones to throw the stone.
那节里面讲的是这个一个见证人必须是作为头一个扔石头的。
Or he could have been doing a powerful doodle.
也许他会写画的是一些非常有能力的一些画。
Just drawing any picture in the sand.
可能画的是一些图画。
But when he's doing this, he is powerfully showing that he's in control of the whole situation.
当他这样做的时候，表明他是在掌控全局的。
Whatever was drawn in the sand, we come to the conclusion that Jesus was calm.Fearless in the midst of this great crisis.
不论他在地上写了什么，我们知道耶稣当时是非常沉着冷静，一点都不害怕。
And one by one, the impact of whatever he drew impacted their hearts.
他写的那些东西一点一点就在那些围观者身上起到很大的作用。
And so you would hear.
所以你听到这个声音。
As the stones are dropped.
那是人们丢掉了手里的石头的声音。
In verse 10,
第十节
Jesus straightens up and he asked her,
耶稣就直起腰来对他说
Has no one condemned you?
没有人定你的罪吗？
See, forcing Jesus to pick truth or grace against adultery or for compassion,He chooses to choose both.
当耶稣被逼去 在恩典和怜悯中做选择的时候，他竟然二者都能选好。
Religion forces us to choose one, but the gospel forces us to choose both.
一个宗教会逼你只选一样，但是我们的神，我们有恩典的神，让我们可以选择两样都选。
He confronts her and he uses this term woman, which in our cultural, it sounds like a term of disrespect.
当你读到妇人这个词的时候，也许你认为耶稣当时对这个人不是很尊重。
But in the Hebrew culture, it was actually a sign of respect. Jesus called his mother this in John chapter 2.
在希伯来的语言文化当中，这其实是一个敬语，因为我们以前读到耶稣称他的妈妈也是称作妇人。
This would be the equivalent of lady.
就像今天我们称人女士一样。
It would be a sign that he was giving her honor and respect.
是一个对人尊重的称呼。
Now that certainly wasn't who she was, but Jesus saw her future and called her to what she could be.
当然那个时候这个女人她并配不得这个称呼，但是耶稣看到了她的未来，知道她在未来是可以配得这个称呼的。
Then he forgave her.
然后耶稣就赦免了她的罪。
He said, neither do I condemn you.
他说我也不定你的罪。
That is the heart of the gospel message.
那就是我们福音的真谛。
No one is qualified to throw a stone.
没有人配去向别人身上扔石头。
The only one who was qualified was Jesus because he was sinless.
世上只有一个人配，那就是耶稣，因为他是无罪的。
But Jesus forgave her on the basis of what he was going to do on the cross in just a few months.
但是耶稣赦免了他，正是基于他以后两个月要在十字架上为我们所做的事情。
He is saying to her, I will take the punishment you deserve upon myself. I don't condemn you. You can be free.
他的意思就是，我会替你承担你的罪受的责罚，你可以走了。
That is the gospel message.
那就是我们的福音。
Salvation is free.
救恩是免费的。
But it's never cheap.
但是它不廉价。
For this woman to be set free, Jesus had to die on the cross and pay for her sin.
这个女人她可以从此走开，有自由，就是因为耶稣为她的罪死在十字架上。
And Jesus not only paid for her sin,
耶稣不仅仅是为了她的罪而死，
but he paid for all of our sins.
她也为我们所有人的罪而死。
For any person that's in this room that's committed adultery, Jesus has paid your sin.
如果在座的有人犯过奸淫罪，你要知道耶稣已经为你赎罪了。
If there's any person in this room that's ever lusted after another person, Jesus has paid the price of that sin.
如果你曾经起过淫念，耶稣也为你的罪而死了。
Jesus paid the price.
耶稣已经付上代价。
So that we would not be condemned.
就是为了要我们不被定罪。
But then he also challenges her.
而且耶稣也给他提了一个要求。
He says, go and sin no more.
他说，你走吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
And this statement brings us to the end of this wonderful story.
这句话就是这个故事的结局。
Jesus warns her of a choice.
耶稣给了他一个选择。
She can either go back to this life of adultery, or she can choose a new pathway.
她可以回到以前的老路上继续犯奸淫，她也可以选择不再犯。
When the Lord forgave her, he gave her the power to choose a pathway of freedom.
当耶稣赦免她的时候，给了她一个选择的自由。
Jesus does not pardon people and then send them back into their sin.
耶稣并没有赦免了人，又把他们放回以前的老路上去。
We need to understand that our sins are forgiven so that we can have a new life in Christ.
我们要知道我们的罪被耶稣赦免，因为我们在他里面会有新的生命。
Jesus specializes in taking lives that are broken and repairing them and mending them.
耶稣最擅长的就是把罪人、不配的人，使他们的生命回转，得新生命。
So here's the question.
问题是，
Did this change her life?
这个女人的生命到底改变了没有？
How do we know it changed her life?
我们知不知道？我们怎么知道呢？
Well, if you can put together a detective mind, there's clues right here.
你想象一下自己做一个侦探，会发现一些，这个。
How many people heard this conversation between the woman and Jesus?
有多少人听见了耶稣和这个妇人的讲话呢？
Nobody. They all left.
因为所有的人都走开了。
So this woman recorded her story with John probably many years later.
所以也许很多年以后，就是这个妇人把这个故事告诉给约翰。
Enjoying the freedom that Jesus had given to her.
那个时候她已经在享受耶稣给她的自由。
So let's apply this to us as we live in 2013 in a sexually charged culture.
所以让我们看一看今天在我们2013年这个时代我们应该怎么样运用我们学到的东西。
My first question to you is, who are your friends?
我的问题是你们的朋友是谁？
It's interesting that in the Gospels, Jesus doesn't condemn bad people.
很有趣的是在福音书里面耶稣从来没有给罪人定罪。
He condemned the insiders who were living as hypocrites.
他定罪的人都是那些教会堂里的人，虚伪的人。
We tend to condemn the people outside the church.
可是我们却倾向于给教堂外面的人定罪。
When Jesus was known as a friend of sinners.
耶稣是一个罪人的朋友，这是世人皆知的。
One of the most radical statements found in the gospel is found in Matthew chapter 9.
在整本圣经里面最具有革命性的一句话就是马太福音第九章 Matthew chapter 9
verses 12 and 13
I can't see that so I have to flip、
yep.
verse 12 and 13
This is an incredible statement about Jesus' mission in life
马太福音九章十二十三节，这是耶稣说过一个非常有革命性的话。他说：“康健的人用不着医生，有病的人才用得着。经上说：‘我喜爱连续，不喜爱祭祀。’这句话的意思，你们且去揣摩。我来本不是招义人，乃是招罪人。”
So the next time I come back to visit you folks, I'm going to ask you a question.
所以下次我再来的时候，我就要问各位一个问题。
How many sinners are you friends with?
你和多少罪人交了朋友？
We should be connected as friends with people outside of this church.
我们应该和教会外面的人也去广交朋友。
So we can live the gospel and they can see our lives.
这样子我们把福音活出来的时候他们就能看到我们的生活。
A second application
第二个
is Oops, sorry. Love people who don't get it.
就是要爱那些还没明白的人。
Did this woman really understand the whole gospel message?
你们觉得那个妇人当时她真的明白耶稣的福音了吗？
I mean, Jesus hadn't even died on the cross. She had no understanding of his freedom that he gave her.
那时候耶稣还没有为人的罪死在十字架上，她怎么可能明白这个福音的真谛呢？
But Jesus loved people who didn't fully understand the whole gospel message.
但是耶稣还是爱那些不明白福音真理的人。
Sometimes it takes folks around us a long time to understand the good news.
有时候一个人明白福音的道理要很久很久。
And what I want to encourage you to do is to stick with them and to love them and to care for them.
所以我要奉劝大家，最好能够跟他们一起慢慢来，等待他们，有耐心。
And it could take years.
也许会花几年的时间。
But we need to be connected to them and giving them the grace that they need to see lived out in our lives.
但是我们要和他们有这种关系，让他们能够从我们心中看到恩典。
The third application is, look at the order here.
第三个应用是要注意一下这个顺序。
Jesus says, I don't condemn you, leave your life of sin.
耶稣说去吧，不要，我不定你的罪，去吧，不要再犯罪了。
What do we normally do in the church?
可是在教会我们经常用什么顺序呢？
We say, leave your life of sin, then we don't condemn you.
我们说的是不要再犯罪了，然后我们才不定你的罪。
I talk with a lot of the young people in Stanford and I invite them to church.
我曾经跟斯坦福一些年轻人讲话，谈过话，让他们来教会。
And many of them say to me, I can't go to church, my life's a mess.
他们的态度就是，我怎么能去教会呢？我的生活这么乱。
And I say, yeah, we're all messes. Come on to church. There's a lot of us like this.
然后我就说，来吧，我们大家都是一团糟，都是一样的。
The church is filled with people with messed up lives.
教会里面来的人应该都是那些生命一团糟的人。
We had something happen at our church service today that was one of the most unusual things that I've experienced in three decades.
今天在牧师的教会里面发生了一件非常不同寻常的事，他三十年来都没有经历过。
At the end of our service,there was a call for anyone that wanted to come forward and confess their sin in public.
在我们的聚会结束的时候，我们去呼召那些人愿意来到前面去认罪悔改，接受福音。
And for the next, from 11:15 to about 10 after 12, person after person got up and told about the struggles that they had in their life and asking for prayer.
从十一点一刻到十二点十分，不停的有人从座位上站起来，告诉大家他们经历的一些征战，希望大家为他们祷告。
We have a lot of messed up people in our church.
我们教会有很多很多搞糟了的人。
But they know where the grace of God is.
但是他们知道神的恩典在哪里可以找到。
And even though they have pain and they're struggling with addictions, they've come to Jesus and they're asking Jesus for help and the congregation for help.
虽然他们有痛苦，他们有一些个毛病，但是他们知道来到神的家中求神来医治。
I don't condemn you.
我不定你的罪。
Leave your life of sin.
不要再犯了。
Make sure you have that first.
要把顺序搞对。
Number four, do we have anything to say about sin in our culture?
我们对我们文化中的这些罪有什么观点呢？
We need to engage our culture that is now going away from God as fast as possible.
我们应该参与到这个文化当中，因为这个文化正在远离神。
Does Jesus want people to commit adultery?
耶稣想让人们犯奸淫罪吗？
Absolutely not. He knows that that destroys families.
当然不会，因为这个罪是破坏家庭的。
So how do we engage this culture and show them the better way?
所以我们怎么样能够让这个文化当中的人知道有一个更好的途径？
This is how we do it.
我们应该这样做。
Your life is a demonstration.
你的生命就是一个就是一个榜样。
When the husbands that are here today, when you love your wife and you give your life for her,
在座的先生，当你爱你的太太，为她舍命的时候
，Everyone around you says, "Wow, that's incredible how you love your wife."
那么你周围的人就会说，啊，这样，他这样爱他的太太是多么不可思议。
And when the wives respect and encourage their husbands, the culture says, "Wow, you have an incredible marriage."
当在座的太太们。你们尊敬你们的先生，支持他们的时候，旁边的人就会说，啊，你们的婚姻是多么美好。
When we live out a biblical marriage, the world is staggered by the love and the intimacy that they see in our lives.
当我们按照圣经的教导来营造一个美好的婚姻的时候，周围的人就会被我们所，感叹我们这样的美好的婚姻。
That's the only hope for the United States.
那是美国唯一的希望。
Is for the people in this room to have such strong marriages that the people outside say, "Tell us the answer."
就是在座的各位，营造你们的婚姻，让他们这样美好，使外人看来要向你讨教，说你婚姻的秘密是什么。
So tonight.
所以今天。
Send the kids to bed early.
今天晚上让你的孩子早早的上床。
Light a candle.
点一个蜡烛。
And have a wonderful time as a married couple and enjoy what God has given to you.
作为一个结婚的夫妇，你们好好的享受神所赐给你们的这个福分。
Number five.
第五点。
Repent.
你们要悔。
Whenever there is a national revival, it always starts with the people of God on their knees saying, "Lord, have mercy on us."
当每次有这种全国性的这种复兴的时候，都是从人们自己的忏悔开始的。
The problem isn't outside.
我们面临的问题不是外面的问题。
The problem's right here in our hearts.
是我们自己心里的问题。
And every one of us here is broken in some way.
每一个人都在一些地方是不好的。
And when we fall on our knees and we say, "Lord, have mercy on us," that's the beginning of change.
当我们愿意跪下来，求神说，主啊，求你怜悯我的时候，那就是改变的开始。
It's not us versus them.
不是我们和他们之间的斗争。
It's all of us saying, "Lord, have mercy."
都是一个人在神面前需要。这种怜悯。
And the final is speak with grace and truth.
最后就是用诚实和用这个真理和这个恩典来讲话。
I love preaching in Kenya.
我很喜欢在肯尼亚讲道。
Because in Kenya they help you to preach.
因为在肯尼亚讲道的时候，听众帮助你来讲道。
They're constantly giving you feedback.
他们不停地给你一些回，就是这些回应。
If you're preaching and you're doing very well,
如果你讲得很好，
they yell out, "Preach it!"
他们就说，接着讲，接着讲。
Keep going!
接着讲。
And they take their hankies and they wave them in the air.
然后他们拿出手绢来，在天上挥舞。
And you know you're doing well.
然后你知道你讲得很好。
But if you're preaching and you are not doing well,
那当你讲得不好的时候，
they yell out.
他们也喊，
Help them, Jesus!
主啊，帮助他吧。
And I was thinking that that would be a great way for us to approach our community.
我觉得我们也可以这样搞一搞。
When people are doing it well,We would yell, "Go on!"
当人们做得好的时候，你们就可以喊。
But when they're struggling,
但是当他们在挣扎的时候
，We would pray, "Help them, Jesus."
我们为他们祷告，耶稣帮助他。
Not throw stones,
不是扔石头
，but to come alongside,
而是来到他们身边
，and say, "Is there any way that I could help you in your struggle?"
问他。我可不可以帮你来面对这个征战？
That is the community that God's called us to be.
那就是神让我们有的这样一个
grace,
恩典
and truth
和真理
at the same time.
同时具备。
Will you commit yourself to that community?
你想不想为这样一个这个社团而努力呢？
That's Jesus's community.
那就是耶稣的身边的事，人都是这样。
Let's pray.
我们一起祷告。
Lord, we all need your grace.
主啊，我们都需要你的恩典。
We all need your truth.
我们都需要你的真理。
Forgive us for not having both grace and truth.
求你赦免我们，因为我们无法做到两个都有。
I pray for any person that's struggling today.
我们为每一个今日在挣扎的人祷告。
Any person that has a brokenness in their heart.
每一个内心深处有破口的人。
Lord, we pray that you would help them.
主啊，求你帮助他。
That you would heal them.
求你医治他。
And give them strength to go on.
给他们前行的动力。
Lord, we live in difficult days.
我们生长在一个非常困苦的环境中。
We're not, liked by our culture.
世人不喜欢我们。
But we pray, Lord, that we would love people that are far from you.
但是，我们祷告，求你帮助我们去爱那些远离你的人。
That we would live close enough that they would see our lives.
我们离他们近，这样他们就能看到我们的生活。
That they would see our love for you and our love for them.
让他们能够从我们身上看到我们对你的爱和对他们的爱。
Lord, help us to follow the example of your Son Jesus.
帮助我们跟着去学习你的儿子耶稣。
We pray this in His name.
以他的圣名求。
Amen.
Amen.